Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Walking Dead, Dead City, Season 1, Episode 3, People Are a Resource, is over, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. Hello everyone, my name is Jessica Leese, and I am climbing aboard the giant troop, ready to chase down every crazy theory about everything that's happening on this week's episode of Dead City. And of course, with me as always, are my favorite two dudes I would never throw off a balcony, AJ Mass and Chappelle. Let's start with you, AJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. We have for dessert today key lime pie, but we're all out of lime and we're all out of pie.
Oh, you've been working on that one all day, I can tell.
I'm doing good. I'm excited. I'm happy to once again go into Madison Square Garden and root for my hometown teams.
Oh, dear. Go Knicks. Chappelle, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm tough as shit, and I look it, you know. So I'm very happy to be here, and I had a good time watching this episode again. Dead City, not disappointing me yet.
No, it's weird. We were talking about this same thing. Mike Bloom and I got together earlier today to talk about the new episode of Star Trek: Strange New Worlds. I'm all about the colon shows this season, I guess, because we got the Star Trek: Strange New Worlds going on, and I said about Dead City that. Everything on paper, I should hate this. It's like, it is a sequel spinoff about two characters on The Walking Dead that can't stand each other and should have decided not to speak to each other again very long ago. They are going on a quest together, and it's set in New York, but filmed on a soundstage in New Jersey. And yet it's still great. How is that possible?
I don't know how they're doing this. When I talked to Josh, he's like, this is so good. I said, yeah, it really is. It really is. And maybe they just had to be released from that, whatever that cloud of The Walking Dead proper was. Maybe they just need to get away from that. Like, once we get away from those, that initial storylines and stuff like that, we could be a little bit more flexible with the stuff we're doing here because we don't have so many of those main characters that we're so used to lug around. Right, we can focus mostly on the characters that we care about, which is these two people. You can bring in other characters as well, but we know we don't have that much time with them. So we can really focus on what these moments mean for Maggie and Negan. And I think because we're already invested in them, we don't spend a lot of time spinning our wheels in different directions that don't matter. And that's what I really appreciate about the show.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's almost like I don't want to plant this idea in The Walking Dead's mind, but maybe everybody needs a spinoff. Like, just about everybody's getting one. But yeah, it's like, yeah. I want six straight episodes of one person before you take me off to talk about somebody else.
It's Terminus, but on a grander scale. And just send them all in their separate ways and have them each get their little six episodes here, then go to the next one, six episodes here, and six episodes there. And then, you know, 5 years down the road, you know, Avengers assemble and let's get them all back for one last big super fight, whoever's left standing. And that works. I mean, this show is giving these characters room to breathe in scenes and actually just, you know, interact with each other without, you know, having to have, hey, look over there, a zombie. Look over there, another zombie. Oh, look over there, another zombie. No, we can take our time and get to really get inside their heads, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, look over there, a Thanksgiving turkey chasing zombies. See, this is what I'm here for. They've really managed to do this great job of, we have these small scenes between two people having real conversations that dig into their actual emotions and feel like the characters have been thought about in the grander scheme. And then we sandwich it between these like huge CGI set pieces, and it makes the whole thing feel much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I think that's really what it is. It really just comes from us knowing that we have two characters that we trust. We know Negan, we know Maggie, and we know that they can carry a scene. And you put them together, we know that there's chemistry there, even if it is supposed to be combative. But then we also see them interact with other people. And you can use the zombies as kind of like a backdrop almost, you know, to some of the more interesting relationships and conversations that are going on. And we don't have, like AJ said, just random zombie occurrences where a 14th, you know, 15th build castmate is about to get killed off the show. And like, oh my God, we got to watch for 3 seconds while they fight off this thing. And then they fight it off and then we go back to what we were doing. A lot of this feels like it's so much more intentional than the other stuff that we're getting to Walking Dead. There's so much more just walking and growling in The Walking Dead proper and in Fear of the Walking Dead than we have here. You know, there's just so many scenes where it's just walk around and hearing sounds of things walking around. But the stuff that they're doing here is so interesting. Even the title of the episode, you know, the people of the resources or whatever, that is so cool because, I mean, Jess, you pioneered this idea. Let's start to put these things to work, you know? And so I've enjoyed this so much.
Yeah, the Croat has some good ideas, actually.
You need to hear both sides, Jess? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm saying there are some very good ideas in this man's mind. And, you know, it's a shame about the torture and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are a resource, dude.
Yeah.
Like maybe don't purposely murder people and make them eat keys, but you know, you got all these dead guys, make them work for you.
Death can turn to methane, which I can turn to fuel, which is what lights the lights. You like it?
See, oh, yeah. They answered a question too.
You did, because you know I was about to ask, how did he walk? You really used whatever resources you had to make sure that you could light up this room so that you could have a candlelit dinner as well. Like, no. But then he asked a question. I was like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, and this makes way more sense. Like, if the Croat served me a bowl of ice cream, I would buy that way more than somebody at the freaking Commonwealth serving me ice cream.
Yes.
Like, this is earned.
Yeah. Is this the first we're ever hearing about somebody using just like basically just turning them into energy like resource in this way? Fuel?
Yes.
We've been under the impression that every time we see a vehicle in The Walking Dead, it has been that gas has been siphoned from another vehicle. We have been watching that kind of interaction from the beginning, and then eventually they just stop showing it to us. We just assume there's no, because we know there's no fueling stations. So they've been siphoning gas, stealing vehicles that already have gas in them. And a part of me always kind of wants to ask, so y'all just happen to have this, or y'all just happen to have this? And I'm like, nope, you know what? We know they siphon. They've been siphoning stuff for 20 years at this point, it feels like. This is such a new development that you could actually use fuel and get fuel, and that you've been around here looking at these zombies, studying these zombies, all this other stuff. And then you finally decide, okay, we got to do something with the zombies. And so I was happy with this.
Yeah, it's not since Michonne had that toothless zombie carrying mm-hmm. her backpack.
Right.
Has someone actually said, okay, if this is a reality of my universe, I should make it work for me?
Yeah, it's good stuff. And it explains so much. And, it, you know, just a little push in that direction. He says, it's science. I'm like, yes, yes, it is. I used to be, guess what? A scientist. Like,
right.
Excellent. So now I can buy into everything that's going on there, and I don't have to like overthink it and go like, well, that's ridiculous. Okay, you have the resources, unlimited resources, because you get millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dead people in Manhattan. I might not buy it as much in like the Georgia forest, but here, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Good on the show for starting to answer questions. And that's not the only question they answered.
This is, it's fantastic. They answered, where is Mrs. Negan?
Yes. I've been wondering. I was like, we're just supposed to assume she's dead. At some point, he's going to be like, ever since I lost Annie. But no, he literally says no. They got away, and I haven't seen them in a while, and I'm wondering about them. I was like, I too am wondering about them. That's crazy that you're feeling like that. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah, you, me, same, Negan.
You see it? I mean, I love that.
And because they're spending so much time with Negan telling that story, you know, it's wonderful. And the exchange is wonderful because, you know, you got Maggie there going, I thought you knew when to shut up, because she's not really upset that he made the story about him, which you thought maybe might be a reason, like, hey, I was telling you about me, but you made it about you. No, she's upset because you're making me feel bad for you. And I don't want to feel bad for you. And that's fantastic.
It's so complicated. And like, they managed to take this relationship and make it complicated.
And Negan is doing his best to make it complicated. He's going above and beyond when he's talking to the other group. And he's just like, yeah, I know this one time there was this one guy who thought he had it all under control. And then this smaller group came in and they took over. And that's exactly what we're doing here. And Maggie's thinking, oh, he's talking about us. And in my mind, I'm like, well, finish the story, Negan. Tell them that the person who they were after is still standing here alive. But
that's what was so great about this show. The visual nature of the show was so perfect, too, because Maggie goes, it worked. And then they rack focused Negan. He goes, hell yeah, it worked. And then he gets really sad because we know that put him in jail for a long, long time. And then rack focused back to Maggie and she's going, yeah, I'm not really happy about it either.
And
because...
he's still here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was so perfect.
And he's still here. Oh, it was so good.
It's like a Paul Harvey story.
Yes.
It's a reference that, Chappelle, you're too young to get, but AJ knows where I'm coming from.
I'm Paul Harvey.
Good day. Amazing. Yes. So they also, in this episode, we get a lot of things we've seen before, but they manage to feel fresh. Mm-hmm. And especially this instance of you've infiltrated a new group. There's one guy that's giving you the side eye. And so you're trying to sell yourself as good to this group. And this one person who's not buying what you're selling, you just eliminate him right away. Is this not exactly what Shane did when they first met the Green Farm?
Yeah, it's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to figure, like, anybody will tell you, you know, if you're gonna take over, you got to get rid of the squeaky wheels, because they're always going to be a problem. You never can trust them fully because they're always plotting against you, and they're always very obvious as well. It's never like they're looking at you and you're looking at them trying to figure out what their problem is. Just go ahead and just knock them off the board. There's no point in keeping this person around, because had they kept this person around, I would be here on this podcast saying they should just kill that one guy because he's obviously going to be a problem, but he's dead now, so there you go.
And we're talking about like a Boston Rob Christina Kell situation, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to talk about Justice for Otis for the Green Farm. Okay, fine. But
we can talk about Justice for Otis.
But no, I also love the fact that Negan didn't want to kill him. Like, he really didn't. He tried so hard. He's like, I'm going to try talking this out one more time because I really don't want to go greater to the forehead.
You never go greater to the forehead, and he did. I was like, this is a very interesting weapon of choice as well. Keep the greater, call it Lucille.
Lucille too.
I'll take it. I was sad to see that guy go. I mean, like, in a way, because it like seemed like an interesting character, but also we don't have that much time. Get him out of here.
Yeah, I mean, he's a smart guy. He probably would have been a resource instead of now becoming a resource.
Yeah,
but yeah, he needed to go. And I love Negan being conflicted about it too, because you keep seeing this world rewarding him for being Negan. He doesn't want to be Negan, but he's got to, because good stuff keeps happening to him when he gives in to that Neganing.
Yeah. You want him to be Negan. You need him to be Negan.
Everybody wants him to be Negan except him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet, you know, the alternate side of things is that we also get these flashbacks to him being a really decent parent to Ginny, and to the point where he's teaching her the whistle that, you know, the real Lucille had, she would whistle and I'd come running. And, you know, so now to her, whistling is a sign of promise and hope and love. And, you know, mm-hmm. Maggie hears the whistling and she's like, yeah, it's the guys who killed Glenn. And
but it's a different whistle, too. He's got a different song.
Yeah.
He's literally whistling a different tune. He has literally changed his tune.
Oh, my God.
Good. So good.
So good.
A little too cute now. He changes tune. Love it.
It's great. And so, well, let's talk about Ginny, because we do get a little bit more backstory on Ginny. And we almost lose a beloved character this week in Dino.
Not since Big Mo have I been very upset to lose an inanimate object.
Big Mo. Still, to this day. We never got a resolution for that.
He's still out there somewhere.
Yeah, and I think we should find it. You know, with this only being so many episodes, you don't need to give me 45 minutes of Ginny looking for the damn dino and then finding out there's a damn dino at the end, and then all of us supposed to be like feeling like, oh, this is sentimental, this made sense. No, we didn't spend that much time with that storyline, because honestly it don't matter that much. And I appreciate it was the pacing of the episode. It really appealed to me. It was just so little. It was like, we touch over there, we come back to the stuff that matters. And it was real quick. It wasn't a lot of time. I personally don't care about the dino, but I do like the relationship that you know, that Negan has with her, and that's fun to watch. So I think they accomplished their goal here.
Yeah, and they managed to add some intrigue onto Maggie at this point too. Like, what Dino signifies here is more important than like Dino himself, because you see Maggie very, very committed to having Negan in on this plan, to the point where she doesn't want him distracted by anything.
Right.
But she's also like, she's fighting against these dark impulses herself, because she can't quite bring herself to torch this stuffed animal.
And it's right on top of the fact that she's opening up her box of memories, mm-hmm. and Negan has just got her the replacement baseball cap for little Herschel. And it's like, oh, so sentimental about this object that reminds me of a happier time. And oh, I can't burn the damn dino. I can't burn the damn dino.
Right. But that Herschel moment is exactly the reason why we had to lose Brother Otis here. You could go. You know, your son's basically already dead. All right, sir. Not on my watch.
Yeah, yes. Nobody asked you.
For
yeah,
shame, nobody Luther, asked for you. Shame.
You got to go. And so very happy to see him go in that, because of that. You know, we talk a lot about Herschel. I'm hoping, for the love of God, that Herschel is just not just this like looming idea that we always have to talk about but never see any like that often, because it's always like, what about Herschel? Herschel been in like 6 maybe 7 minutes of this series so far, and his name comes up constantly. It's like, all right, we're gonna have to get him back quickly, because I'm kind of, that's the one part that's kind of drawing stale on me a little bit. Let's start to get more Herschel in here, since he's such an important part of the story.
Yeah, and well, but what we're getting of Herschel, like, he still feels like a presence, because Maggie is talking about him as if he is a person, which is more than you can say for many of the children in the Walking Dead universe that are sort of stand-ins for personality traits for their parents. Like, I'm looking at you, Gracie. Like, okay, Aaron, you're a dad. Good for you. What's your kid like? Don't know. Nobody cares about her. Herschel feels like a real guy. He feels like he is, you know, he is worth saving and worth going after, even though per Maggie's description of him, he's kind of a little jerk right now, because all 14-year-olds are little jerks.
Yeah. Yeah. I was shocked to hear that story. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, AJ, you've been there. Tell us.
You know what? I think I'm just exceptionally lucky that by some
AJ's child is an perfect angel.
He's an actual angel.
He did not go through that stage.
He skipped 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he still hugs me and says goodnight every night. You know, like, he still cares. He still cares. If somebody came and offered, you know, threatened me my wheat. Oh.
But, okay, would your son go into the root cellar if you told him to?
Hells yeah. He's conflict averse.
Yeah, I will bully him into it.
I'm frankly not sure mine would, but I also think it is equally possible that the Croat rolls up and George just murders everybody. So, it's a very different outcome. He's like, Mom, I can handle it. And then he does handle it.
Turns into a Looper situation.
Yeah, pretty much.
Make it rain.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, Herschel, the fact that we've heard a story about Herschel, a flashback of Herschel, a story about Herschel, I think it was really cool. I think just even to have all three of our characters have this kind of flashback to family. Actually, every character, because, we heard Tomasi and Tommaso and Amaya's story of, like, mm-hmm. when we were kids and how it used to be. And, we got to see the Negan, not only the flashback with Ginny, but also telling us what happened to Annie and his kid. We, hear the flashback with Herschel and...
Even the Croat.
The Croat. Yeah. Oh, by the way, let me just, yada, yada, yada. Yes, I went to the post office, and while I was gone, my family was eaten by another family.
I came back and I could smell the distinct smell of my family being eaten. Oh my God.
The casual nature of oh yeah, just another one of these cannibal stories that we have here on the Walking Dead universe. Don't worry about it.
Mm-mm. I just realized that Herschel being 14 is really putting him in a very unique position for the Walking Dead spinoffs because, The Walking Dead does not have a foreseeable end that we know of. They keep just throwing spinoffs and movies and all kinds of stuff at us. Pretty soon, Herschel could be the protagonist of one of these spinoffs, as you were just saying earlier, Jess. I mean, 14 years old? If he hits 17 on the show, give it to him. Why not?
I'll give him an internship under Iris and Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like 15, 16, right?
So, yeah, they were, but they were 7 or 8 in the zombie apocalypse, so they are now like in their early 20s, which in Walking Dead universe, that's like ready to start your own business.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, but Ginny's obsession with the stuffed animal, like, she comes across like she's 8, which makes sense because we, we have our, Mo on Fear the Walking Dead, who's supposed to be 7, 8 years old and is clearly much, much older than that. So I don't know that this universe still really writes for children well or age appropriate reading level.
Post zombie apocalyptic show does not appeal to the young audience enough.
Just look, if you're going to tell me the kid is 8, don't have them teaching a science class, mm-hmm. And if they are going to be 13, 14, 15, don't have them sucking their thumb and holding the stuffed animal and running around. It's just, that's the kind of nonsense. I mean, I'm glad that we're hearing these stories of Herschel because I still don't know if the kid they have playing Herschel now can act. But, there's at least hope for the character being fully developed for him to at least try and step into it.
This is honestly the best, I think you've touched on this earlier. I think maybe the week that I missed, you were talking about this a bit. I think we managed to have good child characters because we are minimizing our use of the child actors.
Yes.
Like we have mm-hmm. Ginny. She doesn't have any lines, so we don't have to deal with like precocious child acting. We have Herschel. We are talking about him like he's a person, but he's not in very many scenes, so we don't rely on that actor to sell Herschel to us. We rely on an actor who can act to sell Herschel to us.
Right. We've never seen Herschel be a little asshole, but we know he's a little asshole because his mama said so. And I'm okay with that because then when you decide to bring Herschel in, we already have a characterization of him. He doesn't have to sell us something that we don't know. It's like, okay, we already know this. You need to act. You know the same information we know. You a little asshole, you need to come in and be a little asshole. And then if they ever do decide to go off in a different direction and have a spinoff or something like that, the Herschel show or whatever, then you cast a little asshole to be 17-year-old Herschel. And we start from there, But I think that's right. For the ones who aren't as skilled, just tell us what they are good at and just show us them a bunch of time. And then we will associate those traits with that person rather than somebody who cannot pull it off, not pulling it off. Because I do like The World Beyond. I'm on record. I enjoyed it. But there were some moments where I was just like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to call anybody out, but y'all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I mean, in fairness to the young actor who is playing Ginny, I think she is doing a lot with what she is given. And I think it is a hard thing to have that much screen time without any lines and still have to convey like a consistent character. And I think she's doing it very well. But I also think that it is a smart choice not to have her sassing Negan back, which a lesser writer would have done. Like, you don't sass Negan back.
No. No.
Unless you're Judith. And even then. Right? And even then. Well,
even then.
Yeah, a kid could sass Negan back and get away with it. Because he's got that hard line in the sand.
But, like, look what happened when Abraham sassed Negan back.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen. No. Once you hit, puberty. Yeah. Slow your roll a little bit,
age. Yeah,
I'm sure there might be a little different conversation now, like on The Walking Dead proper. It was just kind of like, I'm gonna kill you, Negan. All right, well, you come back to me in a couple of years and see if you still feel that way, buddy. Well, we may get our chance at a confrontation here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is what they're setting us up for in season two of Dead City. You know, all these children that Negan said to come back when you're old enough. They're coming back and they're old enough.
Like, we should do a child army. That's never been done here on The Walking Dead before.
Yeah. Oh, no. Certainly not 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
No. That wasn't even the first child army. What are we doing here?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Do we know that there's going to be a Dead City season two?
Not yet. We do not.
We have to imagine that there will be, though, right?
I mean, it's doing so well. It is critically well received. It seems like it has retained a lot of Walking Dead audience. But I will say, like, speaking as someone who has seen all six episodes, if we don't get a season two, we're not going to be furious.
All right.
That's the key. It's like, I hate these shows in the modern era of television that set you up with such a huge cliffhanger, almost daring the networks to cancel them. You know, you can't possibly not give us another season. Look at the big thing we set up for next year. And then, no, you're not getting it. And who loses in that situation? We lose for investing our time in these stories that aren't going to get to be finished. So I'm all for shows like, I've always said the British model of television has always worked for me. Here's our season. Oh, you want another one? All right, we'll come up with an idea. And they give you another season. Oh, you want another one? We'll come up with another. None of this. Yeah, we've got a 5-year plan. Yeah, slow your roll. Do season one first.
Yeah, we've got a 5-year plan, but the network gave us 6. So now we've got to tell our 5-year story in 6 years.
Yeah.
But- But we only want to play the actors for a certain amount of episodes. And so we got actually, it's years, but we're only going to break those season down into thirds because we're only paying them per season. So for the first year and a half, that's still season one. So don't worry about it. You know, it's a lot, but I only ask that because I think that, I mean, at this point, people should start seeing the new footage for what is coming for the Daryl spinoff or whatever. And at some point, if Daryl is a flop, people will be begging for more Dead City. And I think that they should definitely leave the door open because I could see myself being like, you know, bring back Mac and Negan. I'd take that over this. But who knows? That hasn't come out all the way yet. But pretty soon, we'll have more data on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'd even go so far as to say we're kind of like, we're sort of Hunger Games-ing it out here. Mm. We are giving everybody a spinoff. They will decide who's the best spinoff. And then they'll just bring whoever they want into that spinoff.
Right. But the odds be in their favor.
it's reverse Hunger Games, really, because if you win, you will have people added to your universe.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And trying to get Daryl back from Paris probably will be a task. So I just, but I don't know if that would be more of a task than getting these people to Paris. So
I mean, apparently in this universe, you can just like climb into a cooler and paddle your way across a major body of water.
After taking a bike and, you know, just, oh, I'm here. Like, I don't know how far away they are in New Babylon, but again, it's this travel. Like, oh, we were in Atlanta. We're in Texas. We're in Virginia. We're but like,
I honestly, this doesn't bother me because I don't want to know. I don't need to have this explicated. I don't need a whole episode about it.
I don't need to know how they get from A to B. Just don't show me that it's overnight when it's unrealistic. That's all right. I'm saying.
This is like in Game of Thrones when the first season, they took the entire season to get down to King's Landing. And then they realized this is going to be terrible. We should just have them get where they're going and so they can do what they're doing.
They could just teleport and everybody will be okay. And people let that go for Game of Thrones, but we did call it out. A lot of people were like, how? Because you show on Game of Thrones, they show you the map. That's what made it even more infuriating. It's like, you show me how far this is, but we know the map here. Y'all are from the area and I literally have never not lived in Texas. You cannot tell me Morgan is getting back and forth from Georgia to Texas in an episode twice. So yeah, that's why we struggle because we're familiar with the topography.
Exactly. Like I do not think that even a small child could paddle their way across the East River with a cooler.
And that have to take hours and hours. I've been kayaking one time and my arms were so sore afterwards. I mean, it was just crazy. I was like, I never even thought it took that much. You know, you see it on TV, you know, I used to think like, I wonder how much energy that exerts. This kid is in there in a cooler just going at it. It's like, how? But you know what? Never mind. Fine. It's fine. It's fine.
She's driven. She has a goal.
That damn dino.
I mean, for me, the more pressing question would have been, you know, when Maggie is in episode one using her binoculars and looking over and there's a gazillion walkers along the shore there. And then, you know, now it's like, oh, well, but we can row across and there's no walkers there. But at least they showed our Macy's parade turkey float leading a bunch of walkers away.
Which, again, they're thinking about this. Like, I have to give so much credit to the showrunner because it is an absolutely bonkers idea to have a Walking Dead spinoff set in New York City. But he really thought it out. He's like, if we are going to be in New York City, how do we manage the hordes of walkers? How do we keep the lights on? How do we get from building to building? Where would you hole up in your headquarters? Mm-hmm. He's got an answer to this. How would somebody escape those headquarters? Which we got to go to this now because I want to talk about Tommaso knowing about the original blueprints for Old Penn Station, which is such a New York in-joke.
It's a prison break joke in there somewhere, too. It's like, I got it. I can draw the map of this building. He's like, really? Can you? Okay, thanks.
If you, what, you want to get a tattoo to my body? Because I could do that, too.
I was waiting for him to just rip his shirt off and like have Old Penn Station diagrammed.
Yeah, I mean, it's silly, but then again, not so silly.
No. Again, he thought about it. He's like, how could this work? We will make it work.
It does feel like this is the first time The Walking Dead has ever had to take the actual surroundings into consideration, right? Like saying, we're in Georgia, just put you in a like random ass forest or field in Georgia. You never have to worry about, oh, what if are they in Atlanta proper? Are they going to have run into the Olympic rings? You know, like what, you know, what are they doing there? And then they say they're in Texas. Another place is just like a huge landmass where you could be walking for days and never come in contact with any landmarks. But then you say you're in New York. You're like, okay, that means something here. Because it still has to be New York or the show does, or this whole concept doesn't work. Whereas Georgia, Texas, Portland, I think, was The World Beyond, right? Yeah. None of that stuff needed, you know, the oh God, it's so corny, but no way, they didn't need the environment to be the other character, right? The other main character. But New York is always the other main character in these shows. Yeah. And so, yeah, you have to do it to them. And they're doing a good job, in my opinion. But I'm from Texas, so what do I know?
My gripe is they're not doing enough of it. But I want more. I always want Walking Dead to be as ridiculous as humanly possible. And I think we do a pretty good job of like the level of ridiculous that I wanted at all the time is about an 11. And that level of ridiculous is someone driving a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade float across, you know, down the street in front of Madison Square Garden to stave off a horde of zombies. I want this all the time. This is the ridiculousness / New Yorky level I want.
And the fact that Madison Square Garden is the home base of the new sanctuary, the fact that was a pretty good representation of what a luxury box would look like, and the fact that it was overlooking like a UFC octagon, which, yeah, they would have UFC in Madison Square Garden. That tracks.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that was what was going on at the time of the zombie apocalypse. Like, it would really suck if it was a Rangers game that night and you just had the ice rink.
Although, I thought it was great that the Kerouac led his crowd in the chant of Let's Go Rangers. Domas mo. Domas mo.
I just felt like somebody was tasked with the job of setting up the octagon. You know, like, okay, we're doing this now. It's like, well, okay, well, we're in Madison Square Garden, so obviously there's something we can do with this. Yeah, I'm thinking UFC. It's like, really? Yeah, and you need your job to go make that happen, or we'll make you a resource, and you don't want that to happen. We haven't talked about the UFC moment. But I thought that was incredible. I don't know why. Again, it's so cartoony. But it's just like, yeah, well, let's play a game. They went very Saw. You know, we're going to handcuff you to this
super
thing.
Saw.
Make you fight this guy, kill this guy, take the key out of him. You just watch me make him swallow the key. It's so good. You watch me make him swallow the key. I don't explain to you what it's about at all. It's just, here's a key. Now you eat this key. I kill you. I don't say nothing else about it. Next thing you know, you recognize the zombie. You're like, oh God, that's the guy who ate the key. I need a key. Shit. I gotta kill this guy right now. I watched all that happen in this actor's face. I was like, huh, this is pretty good.
He's solving the problem.
Right.
It's coming together.
The problem, and he's giving you what you want, Jess. Another show with a colon in it.
We've got two.
It's definitely a semicolon at this point.
Yeah.
What was the reason? Like, what are we doing here? We just playing with our food? We just like, I'm crazy. Look at what I did.
Well, it's Jigsaw-y. Like, why did Jigsaw do that stuff? He's like, he thinks he's teaching him some kind of lesson. He thinks he's like, he's, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff somehow.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, he doesn't know this Marshall Smash from Adam. So he's just like, hey, you're not talking to me. You're not giving me what I want. So I'm going to make you give me what I want. Give me the information. Talk to me or else.
I still do not think this is worth killing your own people to entertain yourself with some stranger whose ability levels you know nothing about.
Well, he killed him for trying to kill him with bad food.
Yeah,
Jess.
He was just pissed at the worm.
The worm.
And what I love about it is it's subtle, but you know this is not the guy who prepared the food.
He's a traitor.
No.
Because he said, well, no, it was...
Yeah.
Well, no, but it was.
He's like, did you test the food? It's like, I am the wait staff, sir. It's my job to transport said plate. I didn't even open it. I don't know what's in there. It's like, yeah, but you didn't test the food. Like, go, I'll go get the guy who did it. I swear, I'll go get the chef. It's not me. He's dead. So there you go.
He should have quality controlled.
Yeah, you got to take a peek at this point. Now, if I just watch that happen, oh, I'm checking every plate this man ever touches. Every time, let me, Croat, please, I got this. Let me look at it real quick. No need, because you don't know who he's going to take his anger out on.
Well, I mean, this is what's happening in like season 2 of The Bear, right? We are learning about fine dining and about how you need to know your clientele inside and out.
Well, you learn inside and out if you have to rip their insides out and take a key out of them.
We got to know this guy inside and out.
I thought it was so cool. I did. And I wonder how often they use that octagon. Like, is that just like the running torture device, kind of like our zombie head on crane? Or is it just like special occasion?
I mean, Madison Square Garden is big. It's big. You could put a lot of stuff in there.
But you could, you know, also, I mean, Madison Square Garden, you know, that's, they have a monthly WWE match, monthly UFC, so you know, it's certainly, we know that zombies can wrestle, so I'm sure you said, what, once a month you get a wrestling match, once a month you get the UFC fighting, and maybe they do get out and cut off some zombie heads and play some hoops,
right?
Well, there's like the Knicks have a practice court in Madison Square Garden,
yeah,
so you just leave that up. You don't have to put the Knicks floor in, you could just leave the octagon up all the time. And then you've also, I want to know, are they using the theater in Madison Square Garden?
Ooh.
Like, there's a smaller venue within the venue.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, we see, you know, I don't know, let's say Smash escapes and he's running through Madison Square Garden, goes into the theater, and there's a zombie Billy Joel playing music on the piano?
Oh, dear. I've only ever seen two events at the theater at Madison Square Garden. One of them was the Survivor Season 8 All-Stars finale. And the other one was Bluey's Big Play. So,
oh, nice.
Running the gamut here.
I had the pleasure of doing the NBA draft there one year.
Oh,
yeah.
That was so dope. I've never been in the building. I've walked past it several times.
Yeah.
I see the building, I think, whatever happened to Godzilla 2? But I never get any further than that.
Did it. good stuff.
I mean, I'm gonna go on record one more time as saying that if I'm gonna post up somewhere in New York City in the zombie apocalypse, I'm not going to Madison Square Garden. I'm going to Governor's Island. And the fact that we haven't explored this, like, Governor's Island is now a like fully renovated former Coast Guard outpost. They got lots of housing, they got like a working farm, they've got fewer people. You could clean that up very quickly, like much more quickly than you could clear an entire ass performance venue. You'd have way more space to spread out. You'd have lots of housing for everybody that wants to live there. There's no octagon, but you could probably bring one in.
Yeah. You have to imagine that there's no way that there was an event going on when all this stuff happened, right?
Like, no.
There's no way. Because there's no way you could ever clear that out. You'd have to bomb the building.
I mean, if there's a, you know, if there's a pandemic, they're going to at least try to shut things down.
Yeah,
right.
Well, kind of know that
get
now.
Bit in there. Well, if there's one person to get bit in there, and then who knows what happens next, right? Like, think of the prison. You know, one person dies, and then all of a sudden, everybody's just getting bit, and nobody knows why. You know, so. But again, it does look like they got lucky, because if that was full of people, I don't think we'd ever see the inside of Madison Square Garden.
Rangers were on the road.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
They canceled UFC because of the rumors of the zombie disease. And
Look, we've been through a pandemic now. We know good and well people still going to that event. The zombie. Yeah. Hey, there's a potential zombie apocalypse. It's like, yeah, but I don't need a mask. Yeah, but
I got tickets to WrestleMania. Come on,
right,
man.
Come on, man. I'm outside. Stay at home. No.
I've got FOMO. My FOMO is more important than zombie apocalypse.
I'm saying, we've seen it. We podcasted through it. I'm just saying, we've been there before.
Well, yeah, I don't have to, you know, I don't have to see the rest of this. I've lived it.
Exactly.
All right. So where else do we need to go with this?
I would like to at least point out how, again, giving the characters time to breathe, I found it really cool to just see the ritual of the candlelight dinner and the humming and everyone taking out one object that was precious to and putting it on the table. I just thought that was just, again, so much character development for these people that we don't know. And then to again say, all right, so is Maggie going to pull something out? Is she? And she does, but she doesn't put it on the table. She's not letting it go. There's just so much meaning in that. And Negan pulling out nothing.
Yeah. Because nothing is important to him anymore.
Oh, they didn't have
to explain it to us either. You know, they just did the thing. Like they at first I was like, oh, what are they doing? And I was like, Oh, they're pulling out. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like this. But they wasn't like, this is my prized possession. I just picture Morgan like this. This is my, I came here with this stick and I swear to God, like, okay, just put the stick down. Damn. You know,
yeah, have Tommaso going, okay. As we have people here for the first time, I must explain that it is customary for us to just do the thing. And they did the thing, and it had an element of beauty, and yes, contrasted with, you know, the shouting and crazy stuffing people into water so that they could become fuel.
And I love that Maggie has all those things, and we've shown her having those things even if she's not ready to share them, and we're not afraid to talk in detail about all of the things we already know about Maggie and to go back to that well. And we're not just ignoring that she had this whole past and that these people existed, which is something that Walking Dead proper did for many, many years. Like, when was the last time we spoke about anybody in the Green family besides Maggie and Herschel in Walking Dead proper?
Right.
Yeah. We see Maggie grieving Glenn a lot. Mm-hmm. But Maggie, you done lost your entire family in this apocalypse. Everybody is gone. Beth was a person, Maggie. She was. I promise. I saw her. You could once every now and then just be like, damn, Beth. You know, just give me something. Yeah.
Beth was important enough to have a bottle episode with Daryl.
Exactly. And then after that, Beth, Glenn, as long as Glenn here, she's good. Now, Glenn dies, it's the end of the world. You knew Beth longer, I'm just saying.
Oh, there was one the funniest moment that made me laugh out loud, though, is that she has this moment. She's looking at the thing. She looks at the picture of Glenn. Cut to a zombie coming out from under a dumpster and attacking Jimmy.
That was love that. Genius.
That was so much for us.
Okay. Yeah, pure fan service. Because this show knows who it's for.
But when did they figure it out? Because I know they've heard us yelling for years at this point. What are y'all doing? What are you doing this to us for? We're here. Stop punishing us. Now you're like, okay, we'll give you something.
Yeah, this is our reward.
Yeah.
Walking Dead Dead City is our reward for putting up with, you know, 12 seasons of The Walking Dead and 8 goddamn seasons of Fear the Walking Dead.
Fear was just like, that's when we knew they didn't care about us. Like, The Walking Dead was like, okay, y'all are off track. Y'all are losing sight of things. Can we get everybody back in? Yeah, we made some missteps, but can we save it? Fear, they were like, this is what y'all getting. Just deal with it.
Fear, they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's see if you deserve Dead City. Do you deserve Dead City?
Yeah. What's going to make them stop podcasting?
I know. Let's bring back the cheesemaker.
But, you know, Dead City is definitely, this is our heavenly reward for having been in the trenches with the zombies of Walking Dead Prime and Fear for so long. It's like, this is what we were holding out for, and we finally get it, and I feel so gratified for that.
And as of someone who was born in New York, it like, this feels like home. And it feels like home for the show, too, that they're giving us this fan service and what we want. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for inviting me back home
to
enjoy
the show.
It's just
for us. Yes. Like, I've lived in New York City for half my life at this point, and I was sure they were going to screw it up. Like, I was sure it was going to be half-baked. It is fully baked.
Baked. I'm jealous.
Yeah, they really made a hash of Texas, didn't they?
Dear God, I mean, this state is huge. There's five amazing, three and a half amazing cities here. And, I mean, we didn't get Houston. Come on, man. We literally have a city called Padre, and they didn't even go.
It was a red herring. But, you know, they try to explain this away. Like, we're not doing a full tour of American cities because the army bombed most of them in an attempt to contain the zombies. Like, yeah. All right.
Sure.
Fine.
And that tracks with most zombie novels that make it big, you know, World War Z. It's not the Battle of New York, it's the Battle of Yonkers, you know. It's like we still gotta go upstate, you know. Even Zone One, which by Colson Whitehead, which is one of my favorite books of all time, you know, the capital of the United States is now in Buffalo. Okay. New York City is pretty much a lost cause.
It is the worst timeline. I'm gonna deal with a Buffalo winter on top of a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, but the winter slows the zombies down, which is why you have to do it.
Oh no! Look, if it's the winter in Buffalo, count me out. Zombie me down. I want to be one of the first. Make me into fuel. I'm a resource. I refuse to deal with a Buffalo winter. Sorry.
Yeah, I've hard same. Join me on Governor's Island, Chappelle.
Yeah, we're going. We got to because I can't do that. Yeah.
All right, do we need to talk about anything else about this episode, or have we covered all of our bases?
I think we covered the episode, but I believe after the episode they were doing the whole thing, you know, with the next series. I don't know if you want to get into that.
We can. I would love to hear your thoughts.
I didn't watch it. Because I didn't know if we was going to talk about it. That's why I'm asking. Like, are we going to talk about it or no? I was like, I ain't watch it.
Should we watch it in real time?
If you want to watch it, but I thought y'all have watched it, so I was waiting.
I don't want to watch it. I'm enjoying this so much. I don't
watch it.
Yeah.
No. Now, if the episodes drop early, I'm going to watch it. But I don't like trailers.
It's 2 minutes long. I could describe to you everything that happens in it. Like, I could watch it. I'll tell you what's going on. Do we want to do that exercise?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Do that. That's gonna be fun.
Okay. Erica. All right. He went out looking for something. All he found was trouble.
Okay.
He is speaking into a tape recorder, I believe, like leaving a message for the younger generation. He's off trying to make a difference. He is getting on a boat. He's getting a big spear or some kind of pokey thing with a sharp thing on the end. And now he's walking along some railroad tracks.
Okay.
Out into the big world. Oh, he is in Marseille. He is in France. He is sitting alone on a cliff. He is brooding. He's doing some more hiking. He's looking out over a giant aqueduct. And it's very cinematic with strings. The music is swelling as the soldier walks across the aqueduct. Now he's up on a cliff, and this appears to be maybe wine country. It's semi-arid, and there's more strings, and he's still got his sharp thing with the pointy thing on the end, and now he is at an old fortress, like some kind of ruined medieval thing, and now he is in what appears to be a destroyed school cafeteria, and there's graffiti that says, something about pouvoir de vivants. So I'm guessing that is something about don't dead open inside. That's what's French for that.
Okay.
Now he's pausing. And it says The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, coming this fall to AMC and AMC Plus.
Okay. See, they spoil too much in trailers.
This was Daryl Dixon goes on a hike. This is what the show is going to be like. Are we meant to believe he just hiked to France?
Well, you said he got on a boat for at least half a second.
Well, there was a boat. I don't know. It didn't even look like a seaworthy boat. I don't know if that's how he got there or not.
Now did you say it was something like pauvre vivant?
I'm going
to
back it up.
Go back to that part.
Because pauvre vivant would be poor living. The poor living. Well.
That's pretty bad.
Pouvoir de vivant. Yeah. Yeah. Poor living.
Okay. I'm interested because, I know we've been talking about like, you don't have to explain it to us. I need to know how an ocean liner got Daryl Dixon to France.
Oh, no, it's Power of the Living. Sorry.
Power.
Oh, okay, Power of the Living.
So they're more forward-looking, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But, like, yeah, I think the big question is, how does Daryl Dixon get to France?
I gotta know. I have to know. Look, people are resources, but there ain't that much resources in the world. We got boats going across the ocean. Like, that... I can't do it, y'all. You gotta tell me how this happens.
15 years into the zombie apocalypse, we are meant to believe there's a seaworthy ocean-going vessel.
I can't, y'all. I can't do it.
Look, this man
was on a sailboat. It had to be a sailboat.
I would just hope he wakes up there and we don't get the explanation, because, like, we just born it and he doesn't even know.
AJ.
Because we can find out later. They have to tell us.
I'm worried if they don't tell us in the first episode, they're never going to tell us.
Well, and I'm going to cry all season.
All I'm saying is, I think it's great that Daryl Dixon is the one going to a language country where he doesn't speak the language.
Because he doesn't even speak English.
Yeah, so that we can justify the fact that he just goes,
The people probably over there are probably going to be speaking English too. They're gonna cheat us. They're not gonna give us Daryl, the only person around here who doesn't speak French. Even though it would be way more entertaining if that's what we got. He'll just come up on like an English speaking settlement. I mean, people over there speak English too. But I just would love to see a world where he is the one oddball who's like, just kind of like, huh? What are you talking about? And the whole time they're just speaking in French around him. That's what I would like to see.
Oh, but of course, I spent 15 years studying in America.
Exactly. That's what we're going to get. And you think we've had some weird, some funny accents? Oh, man. I want the most over-the-top, cartoonishly French accent. Yeah, basically.
This is the real reason AJ wants to watch this show, is because he's so going to pull out more accents that all sound exactly like French. Daniel. Yes.
I am not finished with Nicola. Let me get 3 more episodes of The Crawler, and then I can go back to Daniel. And then I will go on to the farms.
I'm enjoying this way too much. I'm not even going to lie to you.
This is quality podcasting right here. We are such a, it's such a different vibe when we all like the show.
Had a good time, man. Indeed. We are. Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said about really getting a hate on for something, but man, I just feel energized. Like, how am I gonna go to sleep now, you guys?
Yeah, the episode didn't give us a ton to talk about because we're not complaining about every scene like we are during Fear of the Walking Dead. And so it's like, they're 30 minutes in, we had covered all the good stuff. Yeah. I was like, this is cool. But also it's sad because I would love to talk about the show more. We just don't have that much content to talk about. And it's a shame because I know this is a very short series right now, and that we don't know if the next series will be just as good. We just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best. But I told somebody on Twitter the other day, literally yesterday, someone was like, oh, I didn't know there was a new Walking Dead spinoff. Do I need to get caught up, or can I just jump in? I said, you can literally just jump in. And I meant it. And mm-hmm. I was confident that they would be okay. And it felt really good. Because if someone told me they wanted to jump into Fear, I would have told them no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you didn't like them.
Yeah. You need to be punished. Here you go. Here's Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's not okay. I mean, the one other thing I'm just going to highlight, only because when we got the screeners, this was explicitly called out as something we were not to talk about until the episode dropped. Mm-hmm. But the content of Armstrong's brother's letter is something that apparently is going to play a larger role. And so I wanted to see if anybody had any takes on that.
I don't remember the contents of the letter, or do we not know it yet?
No, he read it. I mean, the Crobot found it in his boot and read it. And it was kind of, I mean, it was not quite. It was a cry for help. It was basically,
I want to get back to my family or something like that.
I've been doing drugs and I've been having suicidal thoughts, basically, and please come and get me if you get this. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the vibe I got. And of course, as you know, I can't do this alone.
And the fact that Armstrong never read it until this moment is like, he feels bad about that. Yeah. It's like, this is why you open your mail.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, and we cannot mention his boot without talking about the best weapon I've seen on The Walking Dead, the steel toe boot. Just taking his shoe off and beating the hell out of some zombies with his shoe. I'm sorry. That one got me. I love that so much.
And compound it with the fact that he went for the boot one first, realized the letter was in there, and switched to boot two.
And
Croat picked up on it.
Yes.
They didn't let this be just a thread that dropped, you know, like, you know, walkers being able to turn doorknobs. like,
and clock.
Perfect.
That's elegant. That is elegant.
Lives, yeah, it was just done so well.
Yeah, I was like, what resource does he use now? That was my first thought. Like, you know, you just got the key to the horde. You're in the octagon. He reaches for his boot, and I'm thinking he's about to pull out one of those knife boots, you know, like we saw. I'm thinking knife boots about to come into play, or he's got, like, something in there. And he just takes his shoe off and just is like, fuck it. I'll just beat the hell out of you with this boot.
The boot is the weapon.
The boot is the weapon. The boot is the resource.
This was not like a walker that had been around for years and years and years. The first walker was, we saw him formed earlier this episode. And yet, I mean, handcuff Garrot decapitation, man.
Yes.
That was gruesome. But that just shows you how strong Smash really is.
Yeah, he's doing great.
So good. I loved it. That was great.
Yeah. So before we get into our cooler and paddle off into the sunset, AJ Mass, what's going on in your world?
Ah, well, if you have not yet listened to, you can catch me talking with Grace about Black Mirror's episode 5 in season 6, Demon 79. That dropped earlier this week, so you can take a listen to that. Also, as always, if you're in the Criminal Minds market, well, we've got a podcast for you, Felonious Pundits. It's a rewatch for me, first time watch for my partner, Kentad Svensgaard, and we're just having a blast going through these episodes. We just recently recorded an episode which is the worst Criminal Minds episode of the first 11 seasons, and we, much like a Fear of the Walking Dead episode, had a blast tearing it to shreds.
That's beautiful. I love that you had to specify it's the worst one of the first 11 seasons.
Oh,
because
I know
37 seasons after that, I know there's a steep decline.
Well, look, there's an episode in season 12, which is all about how each of them is spending their Saturday away from work. And I kid you not, that's what the episode is about.
Does anybody get murdered?
No, we have Paul F. Tompkins coming in as a guest star to do the FBI for conspiracy theories. And we have Rossi and Daniel Henney's character, who no one knows because they stopped watching by the time he appeared on the show. Putting a crib together in a bedroom.
Riveting.
This was an hour of network television.
then this is a popular show.
It is an extremely popular show. It just was rebooted and it got renewed for season 17 coming soon to Paramount Plus once the writer's strike gets done and all that stuff. Yes, this show will never go away, and I will still be podcasting about it. Probably 15 years after we're done with The Walking Dead.
Yeah, provided Paramount Plus doesn't yank it from the service and throw it in the garbage.
Well, they're
want
hope.
To do that.
We can hope. please help me. Stop.
No, if you tell them to, they're just going to keep making more of it.
Indeed. Oh, it gets bad. but we're in the heyday now, and season 4 is really top notch. Guest stars out the wazoo. It's great stuff.
That sounds amazing, Chappelle. What's going on in your world?
I, too, am talking about a show that will never end, and I'm not talking about The Walking Dead. I'm covering Grey's Anatomy on Post Show Recaps, and so once a month, Ariel and I are dropping Grey's Anatomy episodes or podcast episodes, recaps, or whatever, but it's the off-season, and so Ariel and I will probably be bringing you a deep dive on one of the characters, one of the beloved characters of Grey's Anatomy. We just haven't decided which one yet, and so stay tuned to Post Show Recaps is to keep up with what Ariel and I are going to do, because it should be good. You know, the early days of Grey's Anatomy, when it was wacky and fun, that's what we're going to talk about, especially because we have endless Grey's Anatomy content. Even in a writer's strike, we will be fine. I also am talking about Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast with Sasha Joseph. I joined Sasha on the Below Deck podcast on Rob Has a Podcast, Big Deck Energy, to talk about the penultimate episode of this season of Below Deck. It was a great time. Rob wasn't there, and so me and Sasha came in to get the show canceled. And then over on Nothing But Netflix, we just talked about Black Mirror, as AJ was just saying. Rob and I talked about it. I finally have watched Black Mirror. I've seen 3-ish seasons of Black Mirror. It's cool. I have thoughts, and you can catch those thoughts on our podcast on Nothing But Netflix. And this week, I think Grace, AJ's recent podcast co-host, I guess, will be joining us to talk about American Gladiators. They have a documentary out. Netflix has dropped it, and we're going to talk about it on Nothing But Netflix. And then also, I did some random-ass Big Brother podcast. And so there was Big Brother coverage every week. We're doing some off-season Big Brother coverage on Rob Has a Podcast. And so me, Sasha, Taryn, and Matt Liguori all drafted who are the best, or drafted our team of first boots from Big Brother. I won't say best because that's a strong word when it comes to Big Brother, and especially when it comes to first boots. So you can check that out. And I did something else related to, I did a Survivor Brant Steele. Yeah. A few days ago, I was simulated into a Survivor game, and you have to check out that Brant Steele podcast to see what happened and how I did in the game. It was my second time. I won the first time. So see if the king stays king over on Rob Has a Podcast too. And that's about it. That's what I got going on. Follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show.
That's amazing. And things are heating up for me as well. Like, this is not my only place to vent my spleen about television anymore. I'll be covering the rest of the season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds with one and only Mike Bloom. And our coverage of episode 3 is already in your feeds as we speak. It was a very, very fun episode. We had a great time talking about everything that happened in that. And then this weekend is the premiere of not one, but two new reality shows. They are not new. They are old to me, but new seasons of both Tough as Nails and The Amazing Race Canada. And on Tough as Nails, Mike Bloom, Rob Sesternino, and I will be getting together every week to talk about two episodes of that beloved franchise. And then Amazing Race Canada drops this weekend as well. And Dan Heaton and I will be recapping all of the episodes as we do every year. It is tradition around here, and just in time for Canada Day as well. So I think that brings us to the end of our program. I want to thank Chappelle and AJ for joining me once again on this crazy adventure through the land of the dead. And Josh Wigler will hopefully be with us next week, because I can't wait to hear what he thinks of all of this. I definitely got a text when he reached the balcony scene in last week's episode. So I know he has thoughts. And of course, we have every scripted show you can think of. We got a podcast for that over on postshowrecaps.com. So please check it out. Support us on Patreon, join our Discord, hang out with us. Hit us up on Twitter. We are at AJ Mass, at Chappelle's_show, at Haymaker Hattie, and at Round Howard. And we want to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on everything that's happening in Dead City. So with all that out of the way, thanks once again to all of you, the listeners, and we'll see you back here next week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.